Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, that's the sound of rock cracking, and once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I got to say, the rocks are splitting, folks. In the Middle East, there's earthquakes going on of what has happened in just the past couple weeks with Putin and Syria, and there are some things that people are uncertain what's going on, and Doc Holliday has to ask a question no one else is talking about. I haven't heard it on any show, but is Putin's end game including a modern Ottoman Empire? ISIS wants a caliphate, but what if Putin just wants to set up what was there in the time of the Tsar? He doesn't want to go back to the old Soviet Union. He wants something more. He wants to be a piece of a puzzle that could include the Ottoman Empire, the Chinese, and guess who would lead the coalition that would suppress the rest of the world and pull the rug out from under the economic and military might called the United States of America? I don't want to conceive it, don't want it to happen, but folks, the end game, what is it? Well, I'm going to lay it out for you. Before we get to that, this is the time of presidential politics. It's the week of the Democrats. Debate. Finally, there's a debate going on. Vice President Biden, is he in or is he out? At this point, he hasn't made a decision. Maybe he will the week of the debate. I don't know. We do know Hillary Clinton's having more email troubles. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute, but let me tell you about Bernie Sanders. He is continuing to rise in the polls. He continues to draw more people than Hillary Clinton. He is the rock star granddaddy, the socialist. And like someone said, if Bernie Sanders gets the Democratic National Committee's nomination, if he is the nominee for the Democratic Party and he wins the presidency, he'll be the first socialist elected in America since 2008. You take that, put that in your pipe and smoke it a little bit. But let me tell you, but now Joe Biden is the one. Can he get into a debate and not stick his foot in his mouth? He's 72 years old. And the election's not till next year. Have we ever elected a president that old? Don't think so. I just have to say, where are all the young people in the Democratic Party? Where are all the hip people? Oh, that's right. The Democrats don't like Uber and all these new things. So maybe they don't have any hip people. But I do have to tell you this. The Democratic debate, I bet it's not going to have as many people who are listening to Donald Trump and the Republicans, because Donald Trump brought in the folk. But let me tell you, last week on the Greta show on Fox, she had Senator Ron Johnson. And if people remember, back during the year of the Tea Party, 2010, Ron Johnson got into the Senate, United States Senate in Wisconsin. He came right out of the private sector, right into the Senate. He's making waves there, and he is chairman of a committee that national security is a part of that chairmanship. And he talked to Greta right there on her show on Fox News. Let's play a clip of that and see what kind of trouble Hillary is in now.
The FBI chasing down new leads now in the Hillary Clinton email investigation.
The new information raises big questions about who and how many people had access to sensitive information.
There's at least 400 emails that had some kind of classified information in Hillary Clinton's personal servers.
She's sticking her head in the sand rather than at least trying to take it on.
They've been scrambling to try to even understand all these revelations because they've been unprepared for what's out there.
Doc Holliday breaking in here just before they get Ron Johnson on Greta's show right there on Fox. Let me just say, hey, if that intro, you think Hillary's in a little more trouble now or not? Let's listen to United States Senator Ron Johnson.
Wisconsin Senate Homeland Security Chairman Ron Johnson is investigating the security of Secretary Clinton's server. Senator Johnson is here to go on the record. Nice to see you, sir. And you have written a letter to the company. Is it Datto or Datto, by the way? Do you know? Don't know.
Okay. I'm saying Datto.
Okay, Datto. Okay. Why did you write a letter to this company?
Well, we need to find out exactly what they backed up, in what form, how much has been retained. And Greg, this is all about national security. We have Secretary Clinton having such a complete reckless disregard for the national security interests of this nation by storing material on her private server, then trying to store backups on supposedly an on-site server, which then they find out that data was actually transmitted through the cloud to another backup server. When they found that out, then they put it in another thumb drive. So let's face it, our enemies are very sophisticated at hacking. We have to assume that they have access to any classified information that was on those servers. So we need to find out what was on those servers.
All right.
Like Senator Johnson said, we need to know what's on those servers. Why? Because we need to know what the other countries know. We got to assume with Putin breathing all over around the world with Chinese hackers who've got 4 million people's data files. They have applied for security clearances. You better believe they got Hillary Clinton hacked. I mean, how could they not have? I mean, Putin would probably be firing people if they didn't have this stuff off Hillary Clinton. And it just reminds me of an ad. You remember that ad back in 2008 when she was running for president back then? Hey, let's play it, because it's just amazing in light of these emails. In light of the emails that now everybody around the world knows what Hillary Clinton has in her emails, more than likely the Chinese, the Russians. The only people don't know is the American people. But, okay, let's play this ad real quick.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
I'm Hillary Clinton and I approve this message.
Now, I want to know, Hillary, you approve that message, but you say someone who knows world leaders. Well, how about the world leaders who already know about your emails? We don't know. Inquiring minds would like to know how much the secret data was on there, how much of the security clearance material was on the emails. You said none as of the time you used it. I read to trust you. How about we ask Vladimir Putin how many emails he has of yours? In that 30-second ad of 2008, you made it seem like you would make the White House in America so secure. My goodness, Mrs. Clinton, when you were Secretary of State, my goodness, you didn't make us safer. You made us less safe. And we're not even talking about Benghazi yet, but we're talking about America and giving away or putting all these potential secret emails, security clearances, putting those at risk in this modern world. Are you kidding us? And you say you want to make America safer? You haven't. You haven't. Your actions sure haven't. Okay. I wish we could talk more, and we will have to in the coming weeks. But I did want to tell you something happened that's very, very just, it makes my stomach cringe. I have to say, I'm from the state of Mississippi. We had a governor back in the 60s in the highlights of the civil rights movement that is disgusting now. I hate to say it. I can't say it wasn't said. But there was our Governor Barnett would say NAACP, which we know stands for the National Association for Color, for the Advancement of Color People. But he used the N-word and said it stood for apes. and alligators and coons and possums. Yeah, horrible. This came out in the 60s when Governor Barnett was the governor of the state of Mississippi. But guess what? Ben Carson is running for president, and there's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania who said Carson should get the Coon of the Year award. Can you believe it? And I mean, if someone in a conservative field would say something like that about an African American, would they still have a job? Would they ever have a life again? And there's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania who said Ben Carson deserved the Coon of the Year award. What a slur. What a horrible, horrible thing in 2015 to say about someone who is African American and both parents are African American. I mean, it's not like Obama, who has a white mother and a black father. I mean, and why would somebody pick on Ben Carson like that? And why would they still have a job? Call the University of Pennsylvania. That's where it's at, University of Pennsylvania. And the professor's name is Anthea Butler. And she said that Ben Carson, if there was a Coon of the Year award, then he would need it. Now, that is a racial slur in 2015. There's no place for that in American politics. And I wish the NAACP would stand up for a conservative African-American. Let's see if they will. I sure will stand up for Ben Carson. He's a decent, honorable man. And say, talking about Ben Carson, he went on to The View. And that's where they loved Barack Obama. And that's where they just oohed and awed off Barack Obama. But I'll have to say that Ben Carson went on in a liberal bastion. And I thought he held his way very well. Let me play a clip of what he talked about, his pro-life stance right there in amongst all the liberals. So take a listen to this.
Actually a war on women, but there may be a war on what's inside of women. Is that,
what is that
accurate?
Yeah,
is that
the babies? I mean, we're killing babies all over the place. And, you know, we should be, I think people can probably understand, in my case, I spent my entire career trying to preserve life and give people quality of life, even operating on babies in the womb, operating all night long sometimes on premature babies. And I get to meet those people, you know, when they're adults and productive adults. There is no way you can convince me that they're not important, that they're just a mass of cells
so
that you can do anything
for them. I want...
Now, I think Ben Carson held his own very well right there on The View. And you got to respect his intelligence. You got to respect his knowledge and the way he handles the issues. So very good job on The View, Ben Carson. And we'll have to have more about presidential politics from the Democrats and the Republican side next week. We'll continue each week giving you some insights. But I have to get on with this show in just a moment. We're going to talk about, what is Putin's end game? Does he include a new Ottoman Empire? What does that mean? Do you have a clue? Can you remember the Ottoman Empire? Well, we're going to talk about that very important subject. I'm going to work and fill you in on some things. I hope it's not happening, but my goodness, folks, why isn't somebody on the air talking about this? Because this is scarier than Halloween could ever be. Coming up right after I remind you of this. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And we got a good friend that will remind you of that. Todd Starnes. Take it away, Todd.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world. And you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
All right.
That's good.
Well, that was Todd Starnes, the best-selling author of Godless America. And he is a great, great commentator on Fox News, brings out stories you wouldn't hear if it wasn't for Todd Starnes. But I ran into him a couple weeks ago when I was introducing my book, Bedrock Truths. Got a copy to Todd, and I have to admit, I was glad to get it in his hands because I know he's a great author also. But not only Doc Holliday wrote this book, but it's co-authored by Alveda King. Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. Dr. Alveda King, of course, is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And in this book, she talks about overcoming hate with love. She talks about going to Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore. She talks about what do you do when all seems lost. And you'll enjoy those chapters straight from her heart. She also has a chapter on pro-life, talking about these Planned Parenthood videos and comparing what's happening in the womb to the slave blocks of old, the slave auction blocks. It's an incredible piece that you won't see anywhere else. But it's in Bedrock Truths. Also, Dr. Alex McFarland tackles immigration, talks about military, service in the military. So it's a book that everyone needs now in this 2016 leading up to this election year. It's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. Get your copy by going on the front page of my website right there, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can see the cover. It's called Bedrock Truths. Click on that. It'll take you to DocHolliday.org. That's Doc Holliday, Holliday of two L's, .org. And you can order your copy. Tell your friends and neighbors. Get your copy now. And right now we're running a special free shipping. So go there. Order your copy. We'll be glad to send one out. And tell your friends and neighbors about it. And now we got to get to the second half of the show. You're wondering, what does Doc Holliday mean when he's talking about is Putin's end game, including a new Ottoman Empire? Well, I got to tell you about that, because last week we played on this show, we played a clip from United States Senator John McCain. If you didn't hear last week's show, you need to listen to it, because we were talking about Putin in Syria. We asked that question to John McCain, and a lot of people on a lot of the different networks have been asking John McCain, because they know he's a military expert. He's been in the military. He served there. He was shot down in Vietnam. He's a war hero. He was a Republican nominee for the President of the United States in 2008. And you have to give him one thing, as the chairman of our Armed Forces Committee. We in the Senate, we have to understand he knows the national security. He is very scared of what Barack Obama's doing. But he did give us a bit of hope when he said any one of the Republicans running could turn this thing around and be like the difference between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And that makes me feel better. But I'm thinking a year and a half, and I get to looking at things, and I have to say, Vladimir Putin is playing chess. And I just, when you look at the big picture, what's going on? Why is Putin coming into Syria? Well, of course, they have a base. The Soviet Union put a base there in the 70s. And Putin has told us that one of the most important things in his life, what drives him, he believes the worst thing in the 20th century is when the Soviet Union collapsed. He'd love to get the Soviet Union back. But I'm telling you, I think Putin has his eyes on something bigger than the Soviet Union. And what could be bigger than the past Soviet Union? If you remember how big the Soviet Union was, we called it the East and the West. We talked about the Iron Curtain and cut across Eastern Europe, gave Eastern Europe into the fold of the USSR. And the old Soviet Union of the Cold War, and they were going to grow and expand, and it scared people, and America was afraid of communism taking over America in the 50s, and we had Russia getting the atomic bomb, and we had the race for atomic weapons in the Cold War. But that was won, ultimately. America stood up and stood up to the communist, and now what is going on? Is Putin trying to put together the old Soviet Union? That's a piece of the puzzle, I believe. But he is seeing something bigger and strategically what's opening up to him. And I just have to say, this White House, I don't think has a clue. The State Department does not have a clue. This administration, I'll tell you, this is the song that is going on in the White House and the State House and going on in D.C. and the Democratic headquarters and all the Democratic leaders. This is what's going on. Let me play this song, and I hope you'll understand what I'm talking about.
All you need is love. All together.
Now, as Obama and the White House and the State Department was putting together a kumbaya time of slapping high backs and giving high fives of the Iran deal, that's when Vladimir Putin had already put his plan together, and now he's selling weapons and equipment that's not supposed to be allowed in the Iran deal. He's selling them, getting them over to Iran, and guess what? He has no respect for the United States. As Obama saying, can't we all just share this love together? With love across the world. How many times do we have to tell our president this is not time for kumbaya? And the president, as basking in his victory and doing double laps around the world, talking about the Iran deal, which he won, and he closed out the deal, and he puts the rainbow colors across the White House. He has women in combat in the United States military, forces people to look at what needs to be done, a social experiment, and not what makes the units the best in the world for our American fighting forces. And what else? I mean, he's sitting there, and it's just unbelievable how out of touch this president is. He's our commander in chief, and Barack Obama is not even playing checkers. I don't know if he's doing tic-tac-toe, but I guarantee you Vladimir Putin is playing chess. He is playing chess in a big way around the world, and the pieces are putting together, and they're falling into place for Putin right now because he's unchallenged. Crimea, what happened? The hungry bear bit off the entire peninsula of Crimea. They got Russian tanks in eastern Ukraine. They've never been pushed out. And his quote, volunteers came in to help those people that needed help in Ukraine. They're still there. These volunteers, they're Russian troops. Guess what? He said they're just going to use air power in Syria, may have some volunteers come into Syria. You better bet your life there's more than just air power in Syria right now. And why is it important to the United States? Because we've been backed down. We've had a Russian general go to our embassy in Baghdad and said, in another hour, Russians will be using airspace over Syria. We're letting you know that. You don't need to fly anything. This is what they told the United States of America. And listen, on top of that, they started firing the bomb raids in Syria. But that they didn't stop there. They used Russian muscle. They had four warships in the Caspian Sea. They shot off 28 medium-range cruise missiles that flew across our ally, Iraq, supposedly our ally. They flew across Iraq into Syria, destroyed their targets. Putin was on the air bragging how the Russians put their cruise missiles where they needed to be and just really making Obama look like a fool, saying you can't even shoot missiles in Afghanistan without hitting a hospital. Putin is beating his chest, and America is backing away. And does that put us closer to war? Well, the more wobbly our commander-in-chief knees are, the more pressure will be to do something, and the pressure will come out of a weakness that is not going to be pretty. And he may not do anything. In that case, Vladimir Putin will keep on building up this effective army. But why did I say at the first of the show, does Putin really want, what is his end game? Is it to restore the Ottoman Empire? Go back in history. We won't have time to explain the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman family. But for 500 years, the Ottoman Empire ruled over the Middle East, ruled over Northern Africa, ruled. And that's where their governments were coming from, out of Turkey. Turkey was sort of the command center of the Ottoman Empire. And what is Vladimir Putin doing? I think he would love to kick ISIS out of all the countries. He looked like a hero. He said, look, the West and America had ample time to get rid of ISIS. They were losing the battle. So Vladimir Putin, came in and whipped ISIS in a matter of months or weeks, where the West was paralyzed and couldn't do anything. And he's going to tell, if you want your caliphate, bring back the Ottoman Empire. But how does he get there? Turkey. Look, the prime minister of Turkey, the president, Erdogan, he has been a friend of the jihadist. Now, how can Putin make friends? Well, Putin would love to have Erdogan on his side because Turkey is a NATO member. How do you destroy NATO? How do you weaken NATO? You pick off one of the most important southern players that's called Turkey. It's always been a very important role back during the Cold War to have NATO and American air power in Turkey. What happened when Syria had allowed Russians and Russians were in Syrian airspace? They flew into Turkey and they said, oh, we're sorry, we didn't know we were there. They knew exactly what they were doing, folks. And they were they challenged? Well, President Obama said, oh, that's a no-no. Turkey said, that's a no-no. What if there is some kind of agreement that pulls Turkey closer to Putin? Putin is already working, and I've mentioned that in last week's show. He's working with Iraq and Iran to share intelligence information. He's allowing Iran to be a regional power. They're already taking over Iraq. America spent $1 trillion and thousands of lives and limbs of American soldiers. And in just a short amount of time after the war is won, Obama's lost it. Iraq. We wouldn't have 28 cruise missiles flying over the country of Iraq if America had air superiority there. And we could have done that. Listen to last week's show. What an amazing loss of American prestige and power that has happened. It's been a vacuum that's been filled by ISIS, now being filled by Vladimir Putin. Can you believe that? The Caspian Sea, Russian warships shooting 28 cruise missiles across an ally of the United States. And now, what does it mean? There's so much we could talk about in the show, but the Ottoman Empire, if it comes back, if Turkey is given the role of coming back and being the head of the Ottoman Empire, what that does is consolidate power that Putin, he can't conquer that. He doesn't want to. He wants to say, look, America's failed you as an ally. America's failing. He'll go to Egypt. He'll go to other places. He'll go to Saudi Arabia. And I know they're the Sunni Muslims, and he's already working. He'll get the Shiites on his side, and once he gets the Shiites on his side, he'll say, let's get the Sunnis and work together like they did during the Ottoman Empire. And then he'll have the oil, he'll have the prestige, the power across the Middle East and Northern Africa. People will think he's a hero because he stopped ISIS and stopped the chaos and all the corruption that's all going on all over these places that Barack Obama instigated in Libya. So these are the things Putin is counting on, and it can happen because he's bringing troops into Syria, and they're not trying to defeat just ISIS there. They're going to prop up Assad, and once they do, they'll have a base. And what happens? Well, Israel. What does Israel do? They've been under the superiority of American superpower. They've been able to fly at will across the Middle East when they needed to protect themselves. Will they be able to take the Israeli Air Force and fly through Syria, through Iraq, through any of these places to get to Iran? Of course not. That's what Putin and Iran's already been talking about. They're going to have missile defense. They're going to fly not only through Syria, they're going to fly through a Russian missile defense system to get to Iran. Putin is playing chess. Obama, tic-tac-toe, if he can even play it. This is serious business, people. An ally of the United States, an important ally, Israel, is very much threatened. And it will get worse as Putin builds up his power as Syria and tries to instigate the old Ottoman Empire. And guess what? There's been reports that China may come in and help with air power in Syria. Now, I have not seen official reports, but there are some unofficial reports out there that China is going to work with Russia. China, Russia, the old Ottoman Empire, controlling oil. What does that do? I go back to the early part of the show when John McCain, and I told you how last week he said, whoever wins the Republican nomination, they can get in the White House and be like Ronald Reagan was against Jimmy Carter and bring America back. We're a great country. We just need a good leader. But what happens in the next year if Putin continues to call the bluff of Barack Obama, continues to be aggressive like he has been in Crimea and Ukraine and now Syria? How much will he control before Obama leaves? What if he comes to Obama when China has allied with Putin, when the old Ottoman Empire starts building up, and if Turkey leaves NATO, and if Russia controlling all the oil? And what if they come and say, no longer, and they get Saudi Arabia to agree, no longer will oil be paid for in American dollars. It will be devastating to the American economy because we have been living above our means. Why? Because we are the world's reserve currency. And if Putin and China and the Ottoman Empire rises up, the OPEC nations yielding to that, and even going into South America, what happens in Venezuela and even Cuba? What if Putin has control over those? And what if they decide we don't want to pay any more petrodollars, oil dollars, with, you know, in American currency? America will be up the creek without a paddle. We'll lose a third or more of our lifestyle immediately. Immediately. They can't do it now because they don't have the power. They would love to get the American dollar out of being the world's reserve currency because they know it props up America. But they don't have the power to do it. But what if by the time I get ready in 2017 for a new American president, no matter who it is, no matter how conservative he is, and Vladimir Putin looks at Barack Obama in the eye, and Barack Obama's ready to leave, and he has given all this flexibility to Vladimir Putin, and Putin just looks across to Barack Obama and smiles and says, checkmate. Folks, it's a sad day to think about it. That's why I'm bringing it out on the air right now. Tell your friends and neighbors to listen to the show. What's happening? Are we capable of losing this worldwide struggle for freedom to a dictator, to a strong-armed man named Vladimir Putin, because we have nobody in the White House, nobody in the State Department, and nobody with the guts in the Pentagon to stand up and tell the people what's going on? The Ottoman Empire could be revised and revived for the help of Vladimir Putin. To take over large sections and swaths of this globe to dominate power, to undermine America. Folks, I hope I'm wrong, but you need to tell your congressman and senator and get people looking at this right now. And next week, we'll have more on presidential politics. I want you to check out my new book. It's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. Very important program we had today. We'll continue to have those. You're not going to hear it anywhere else, but right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.